This is Uncommon Sense for Leaders, a forum for exploring leadership from the intellect, the heart, and the spirit. Whether you're a leader now or aspire to be a leader in the future, you owe it to yourself to learn about the big ideas that have shaped the careers of compelling communicators, masters of influence, and highly effective leaders. Uncommon Sense for Leaders. Tune in to hear thought-provoking ideas on every aspect of leadership. You can expect dynamic discussions with special guests, quick tips you can apply immediately for better results, and the tools you need to take you from where you are to where you want to be as a leader. Are you ready to crack the code for achieving unprecedented results? Then welcome the host of Uncommon Sense for Leaders, Catherine Carlisi.
Welcome. I'm delighted to introduce you today to a special guest by the name of Valya Glitzis. Now, I met Valya in sort of an unusual way. We're both doing executive coaching for a client in New York City, and I kept hearing wonderful things about this other executive coach. We were compared to each other with our similarities in our philosophies, and I thought, I have to meet this woman. So I recently had a chance to talk to her and asked her to be on the show because I think she has a lot of insights and a unique perspective that you're going to really enjoy. So Valya, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled.
I'm glad to have you too. So I'm interested to know, first of all, how did you get into executive coaching?
So it's funny, you and I spoke the first time we connected. I think this is the type of work that chooses you. I'm not sure you wake up one morning when you're in high school or college and say, yes, I'm going to be an executive coach. I think it's a type of work that it's sort of who you've always been, but haven't quite figured out how and when to use those skills of empathy, of connection, of being that trusted advisor in various roles throughout an organization. So my world happened from, doing a lot of the quote-unquote right things. My entire career, it was the right schools, then it was the right jobs, and doing things for what everybody else wanted. But I always found myself in this trusted advisor-type role. And after getting my MBA, I think I had just stretched to a capacity that said, hold on a second, something doesn't seem right to continue to do everything that's right for everyone else and that makes sense on a piece of paper, you know, a resume, a bio, whatever it is, versus doing it for what really felt right and authentic for me. And after doing some consulting work, a client tapped me on the shoulder and said, you know, you're my coach. And I started laughing, and I'm like, oh, that's sweet, whatever. She's like, no, really, you're my coach. You should look into coaching. And the rest is history. Within 2 weeks, I had signed up for a coaching certification program and decided to take a leap of faith and start my own business, and that's what I've been doing ever since.
It is a leap of faith, isn't it, when we jump into our own business? Because I think we don't know the future, and we jump into something. But we're, as you were saying, we're guided by something inside of us that says we can't settle for less.
Yes. It's funny. I have a quote on my cork board that I stare at every day when I'm in my office, leap and the net will appear. And, you know, you and I coach a lot of folks who I think wait for that net to appear first and say, okay, well, is it safe? Can I do it? What are the guarantees? And so much of work around leadership, I think, is having the faith, the trust, and really the conviction to leap first and know that everything's going to fall into place and orchestrate around that.
Or if it doesn't, that you're resourceful enough that you'll find a way to make it work.
Yes.
And for some reason, that reminded me of a quote, or it was actually a cartoon, where someone was upset with his boss because he wanted a promotion and he didn't get the promotion. And the boss said, but you don't demonstrate leadership and initiative. He said, I would have if you told me what you wanted. And I think it's so true. For us, we're pioneers. We go into a place where there's not usually a very clear path.
I think that's exactly. I mean,
so certainly in my experience, I did not have a clear path because I did it very differently from you. I didn't go out to all the right schools. At first, I took a lot of training in neuro-linguistic programming, which opened my eyes to a very different world. And I got started in this business very coincidentally with a casual conversation with someone I had just met who introduced me to her boss, who introduced me to other people. And again, sometimes when you're ready, the door is open. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think so much of what you're saying is also the, not even self-reliance, I think we just build this resilience and this trust that you said, no matter what the obstacles or open doors in front of you, there is this just innate state within you that you know you're going to be okay no matter what, right? It might look chaotic, but on the inside, I think it's how do we navigate chaos sometimes to then seek clarity, and clarity always comes. It's just a matter of what path are we going to take to get there.
Yes, I agree. So would you talk a little bit more about what you do? I know you're a coach, a speaker,
sure.
and a trainer. But yes. What does that entail? And if you want to talk about each one, or it's up to you.
Sure, sure. So, yeah, I mean, the big umbrella in both of our worlds, you know, is leadership development. And I think each coach probably defines that in their own way. A lot of my philosophy around these things is from the inside out. I take a very holistic perspective. I know you and I share that, and I think some other coaches would call us crazy, but I think it's about who is this entire individual and how do they show up in their world. A lot of my background is in branding, so I bring a lot of branding into what I do. Who are you? How do you show up? And what are the stories that get in the way of that? So when I say inside out, I think it's very much tapping into the inner world of a person to then allow the outer manifestation, whether it's achievements, promotions, you know, time management, whatever external goal they have, we start from a place that helps to solve that holistically and from the root, not just putting a Band-Aid on something. So just philosophically, that's how I show up into the coaching space. And the business right now and the work that I do is one-on-one executive coaching. I focus on individuals who are generally high potentials in what they do, but are also open to this different way of thinking. The tagline that I use is leadership development for enlightened corporates. And my definition of that is someone yeah. who has an itch to live life a little bit deeper, whatever that means for them. I think there's no judgment of what that looks like, but for them to constantly be a student of life, those are the types of people that I really enjoy working with and somehow attract working with. So it's one-on-one executive coaching, all sorts of industries from, you know, from a McKinsey to an IBM to a startup. And then in those ones, you know, once we're in those organizations, then there's other opportunities for development, right? Whether it's training, whether it's a leadership team offsite. And some of the favorite work that I do is speaking engagements and really connecting with audiences just to plant a seed, right? Just to plant a seed of this type of leadership. And I think those who are ready to opt in. Those who aren't ready to hear it yet, don't. And I think that's part of the magic of what we do, right? To give people a chance and an invitation to step into leading their most inspired life, whatever that looks like for them.
I couldn't agree more. And it's wonderful when we can work with people who are already enlightened, but there's something magical too about opening that particular portal into a new experience for people. And I'm sure you've had yes. that same experience.
Yes, yes. And I think it's just that itch, right? It's just planting that one seed. And people know. I really believe in that quote, you know, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. I really,
exactly.
really believe that. I've had that experience with so many clients who are like, you know, I was just thinking that I wanted to do this, and here you are. Or my organization just happened to offer this particular program, and it's like you're speaking only to me. And I think I do think it's magical. I think that's the right word. I think it's magical when something like that happens.
The other thing you said that I really want to underline, because I've done several of the radio shows on this topic recently, and that is understanding our stories, because I think this is what shapes our behaviors. I have someone coming up in October who's going to be a guest, Carol Pearson, who wrote her first book in the 80s, and you may have heard of it. It's the Six Archetypes We Live By. And she's written quite a few since, and she's quite well known in this country and around the world. The premise is the larger stories, or the archetypes. Are we warriors? Are we magicians? How do we approach our work? And the magician archetype is one that I get really excited about, and I think you will too, because it's what you talk about. It says we transform what's around us by transforming ourselves. What do you think about that?
I love that. I love that. And I think, you know, it's exactly what we were sharing before, sort of this inside-out perspective, right? The more you know you, the more the world around you shapes, right, and conspires. You remember The Alchemist, you know, but Paulo Coelho.
Oh, yeah.
It's, you know, when you're living your personal legend, right, the universe conspires. And I think that's so beautifully said, that magician archetype.
You know, I do a lot of conflict resolution. I don't know if that's part of what you do. And it's always about the stories we tell ourselves and the either inaccurate information or limited information upon which we build our assumptions.
Yes. And I can't tell you how many clients, you know, almost feel, I wouldn't say defeatist, but they almost feel embarrassed and sometimes say to me, you know what, I'm sorry, like this is so obvious when we have some type of breakthrough or insight. I should have figured this out myself. And what I gently push back and tell them is, you know, well, your brain is actually, and you know best with your neurolinguistic programming background, but your brain is part of what's actually created the problem, right? Or the story. So it's, you're just more attached to your own garbage. I'm not as attached to that story. I have my own story. So I'm able to hold up a mirror to yours to just allow you to choose. I think so much of our leadership world is just about choice. Right? Don't live in the default. Be able to choose. Yeah. Does this behavior or thought pattern still serve me, or has it expired and it's time to replace it with a new one?
I don't think that's just true in business. I think that the choice is recognizing we have choice takes us out of that victim mode, and then exercising choice opens up new possibilities. You know, I tell people when they go through that guilt of having realized something they didn't know before, is that you're judging yourself for not having known what you haven't learned yet. And that becomes a real disincentive to learn further.
Yes.
We have about 30 seconds before we go to break, Valya. What would you say to that?
I think it's interesting. I think that we people also judge. I think that the word regret keeps coming up as I was hearing you play that back. Right? They're basically people saying, oh, and I made that mistake, but you're right. We only know as much as we know in that given point, and we made the best decision we knew how. And I think people
Absolutely.
Really embracing that makes a huge difference in terms of their experience.
Thank you. We'll be right back after this short break.
There's more to come with Catherine Agass on Uncommon Sense for Leaders. Catherine returns after this short break.
What does success mean to you? Money? Power? Fame? Having everything money can buy? Does it mean having a job or career that you love? A great family life? Or simply to be happy? If you're still searching for answers, then join us each Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern for Primetime Success Radio, where Alan Skidmore and his special guests will discuss health, finances, relationships, being in business, and how you can have a life that is not only successful, but a life of meaning. Alan has been studying success principles for over 25 years through reading, attending seminars, interviewing successful people, and a daily lesson from the School of Hard Knocks. And now he wants to share that information with you. So join Alan Skidmore on Primetime Success Radio every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Rockstar Radio Network, as he takes you on a journey of finding the heart of your success.
Join host Kaylin Amadio for Act Local, marketing for small business. Kaylin helps concerned, confused, and even clueless small business entrepreneurs market simply, safely, and successfully. Join Kaylin for some Monday morning marketing madness that will leave you with more ideas, more understanding, and more knowledge about why and how harnessing the internet gives you the power to bring your business to the next level. Whether you need help with online media, social media, video, or mobile marketing for your local business, this marketing black belt will guide you into the 21st century with easy tips, tricks, and techniques that get your local business seen and heard. Each week, Kaylin will feature a new tip that you can use today, as well as a range of guest experts who are passionate about helping local business owners thrive. Act Local, Marketing for Small Business, airs every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. You're listening to Uncommon Sense for Leaders, a forum for exploring leadership from the intellect, the heart, and the spirit. Here with more thought-provoking ideas on every aspect of leadership, Catherine Carlisi.
Welcome back. During the break, Valia and I were talking, and you know, this notion of leadership, we talk about leadership, leadership skills, leadership perspective. We may have different ideas about what that term really means. So I asked Valia if she would share with you how she defines leadership. What would you say to that, Valia?
Sure. So leadership to me is very much something, and I alluded to this earlier, but I think it's something that comes as we become more of who we are. And I don't think it's a quest necessarily. I don't think it's something that's outside of us that we search for and dig and experience. I think it's the more we allow us to be us and shift the story to our earlier conversation around stories, shift the story of I need to be someone so that you like me, or I need to be who you want me to be, versus I can just show up fully and completely in my element with my strengths, with my weaknesses, with my blind spots, with all of me. And I think, you know, the word vulnerability comes up a lot in my coaching. I think it's the courage to be vulnerable, the courage to connect, the courage to just be fully present and completely you. I think that's leadership. I do think it comes from the inside out. I think typically I see a breaking point somewhere where there's something that happened or some story or some pain that is big enough that allows a person courage to then go in and start this journey. I use the word journey a lot in my coaching because I think it is that. I don't think it's a skill that we just teach. I think it's something that everyone needs to experience and personalize for themselves. But I think leadership is the effect that happens when people live completely courageously as themselves and not as something that they're trying to be for someone else.
I love that. And of course, I agree entirely. You know, I talk a lot about why leadership training, it can be problematic, that it doesn't necessarily work. First of all, I won't get the quote exactly right, but somebody said recently that knowledge is about adding something every day. Wisdom is about subtracting something every day. And I think that's so true in what you just said. We can give people all the techniques and all the behaviors that a good leader might demonstrate. But if they don't do it from the inside out, it's artificial. They're not going to get the same results. So yes. Helping them find their own wisdom, and that's how I translated what you said, I think is so important in this.
I think that's spot on, and I love that. I love that the subtracting something. It's really the chipping away, right? All the raw components are there, but then the stories and the default patterns and who our parents wanted to be or our teachers wanted to be or our boss wanted to be, that all becomes the fog, right? So I think our work is how do we, for each person that we work with, that we coach, that we develop, and for each person who takes this journey on their own, how do you begin lifting that fog to just reveal what was underneath to begin with, right? There's a simplicity in it. I always say to my clients that there's when they have this incredible aha moment and they turn and they say, but that was so easy. And I said, yes, the truth at the end of the day is really simple. It's just we complicate it, right? And the revealing of simplicity, I think, is really part of the magic of what we do.
I'm going to differentiate with you on a term, though. Things can be simple, but not necessarily easy because we we try to be bulletproof. You talked about vulnerability. I so agree. We try to be bulletproof because we fear being exposed. I think we fear that someone else might take advantage of us or that we're not going to be adequate to the situation. When we have that courage to be vulnerable, we automatically become so much more attractive to people. They connect with us, and they want to align with us to create a common goal.
That's exactly it. And think about when we're on the receiving end, right? When someone asks us, perhaps, for help, for connection, for insight on something, what do we think? We think that person is weaker? Of course not. We think, oh, wow, I'd love to help you. Let's put our brains together, right? So on the receiving end, we love it. It's on the giving end where it really feels scary because we're not programmed to do that.
Yes, yeah. You know, it's interesting. What you said is similar to something I say when people have trouble delegating. You know how good it feels to help someone else. Why would you deny them the same pleasure?
Yes.
So
it's that whole
there are probably some common threads that you find in the leadership challenges with the executives you work with. Has that been true? And what would some of those be, Valya?
You know, I think it's definitely true. I always, when I go in for a chemistry meeting to start working with a different client, they'll always ask, you know, well, do you work with a lot of people in our industry? Who are the other corporations that you work with in our industry? And I laugh. And I say, you know, with love, this is human work. So it doesn't matter if you're in financial services, if you're in law, if you're in marketing. At the end of the day, you have human beings who are taking care of these types of, whatever roles, responsibilities in your organization. So having a difficult conversation, worrying about balance, thinking about promotion, this is human work. So I think there's absolutely threads amongst executives, cross-industry, amongst individuals, and quite frankly, whether someone is the intern or the CEO, there again is a shared experience that I think is common thread. Some of the things that I see most often, and I'll actually be curious to see if you've seen the same thing, it all boils down, in my experience, to some version of the story of I'm not good enough. Whether that manifests in I feel uber competitive, I feel like I don't want to delegate and I hold on to things, whether it's I don't really know how to ask this of my boss, it's some version of that expired story. And I think that's a key theme across organizations, across executives, whatever you want to call it. I think another piece of that or another manifestation of that is the letting go, right? How do you shift from management to leadership where it's all about, I was a functionally excellent individual, so I did the right things, I became a subject matter expert, I became a rock star basically at my work, but then how do you make that shift to leading others to success, to letting go, to loosening the grasp and seeing that by your success, I actually become more successful. I think that's a huge theme that I'm seeing more and more of. Have you seen a lot of that?
I have seen that for decades. You are absolutely right. And it comes from our tendency to promote people based on their success as an individual contributor and not necessarily to consider what are the differing expectations of a leader, just as you said.
Mm-hmm.
So something else, you kind of threw this in there, but I'm going to highlight it because I think that there's something unexpected but really, really important in what you said. When you were talking about giving people perhaps a differing point of view, you used the phrase with love. Mm-hmm. I have found was that Maya Angelou quote, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And part of my job as a coach, and clearly yours, is to let people know that I am 100% for them, helping them achieve their highest good, becoming who they're meant to be, not who I want them to be, but who they really feel compelled when they're not afraid. Who are they when they're not afraid? And to really show up in that way more often.
Yes, I love that. And I think so much of our work, Catherine, is holding that space for others. And how often do people seek approval, even of their coach, right? Like you said, how often do they want to make us happy of, okay, great, I did my homework. And it's not about that approval, but I think we are so wired to seek it and find our own validation and self-worth through that. And what does it look like for us to just focus that mirror and focus all the light and all the energy on the individual and what they want, not necessarily what they have been programmed to think, which is what others want them to be? I love that.
That's when we break free. And there are a number of people, and it's interesting in the timing, and this may be why you're saying you're seeing it more and more. I have so many people who are even going through what I would call the dark night of the soul, because they're letting go of the past and it's kind of breaking away those past limitations. And they're moving into the unknown. And in that moment, there's that sort of tipping on the balance. And the focus that I try to help them with is to focus more on what they have to share than what they have to fear.
Yes.
And when they start moving into what they have to offer, I think then everything moves along quite well.
Yes, And I love what you said before of, you know, what would they do if they weren't afraid, right? And I think we always ask as coaches, what is the cost of that, right? What is it costing you to live so much in fear, right, or in that dark night? What does it look like to come through the other end, even if we just pretend, right, even if we just put them there in a hypothetical state? I mean, you know best with the brain, but chemically, we start shifting. We start seeing other possibilities rather than just what's not possible.
Well, that's where it all starts, isn't it? We have to create something in our imagination before we can ever make it real in the world.
Yes.
So that the looking at different possibilities, you know, this is something we don't do enough. I'm so glad you brought it up. But to consider the choices, which you mentioned earlier, let's take the options that you have available. Let's play them out over time and see what would happen, not just today and tomorrow or next week. Where else does that choice take us, and how do we feel about it further down the road? And then you make a choice from a much more informed position.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And you give yourself permission. I think there's so much about it's okay for me to be thinking differently, right? It's okay for me to be seeing possibilities. It's all right for me to just play with it. And then it either works, it doesn't. We try things on for size, we change them, we adapt. There's something about being nimble and agile that I think comes with giving ourselves more permission to allow that creative juice in our brain and in our body to think of other possibilities.
Yes, especially as we get older, thinking nimble and agile is really, I think that's a great way. We've just got about 1 minute left, but I'd like to hear how you got started on your own leadership journey, and maybe we'll have to continue it after the break. But what got you started on your own leadership perspective?
Sure. Mine was one of those things that you can't ignore. I like I mentioned before, I was perfectly happy consulting, doing good work, you know, making good money in an incredible organization, and woke up one fine morning having a bout of extremely intense panic attacks. And
that's
they
a signal.
Go away. I'm sorry.
I'm going to have to stop you here, though, because we've just got about 10 seconds. We're going to go into the break. I'm sorry. I can't believe how fast this time is going. So we're going to take a short break. We're going to be back. I want to hear what message this panic attack brought you and how it took you to where you are now. Thank you.
There's more to come with Catherine and her guests on Uncommon for Leaders. Catherine returns after this short break.
LinkedIn. It's a great tool and a great way to do business in today's social media driven world. And Carol McManus is the LinkedIn Lady with the LinkedIn Lady Show, Tuesday and Wednesday afternoons at 4 p.m. Eastern on allbusinessradionetwork.com. The LinkedIn Lady Show is designed to inform, inspire, and educate businesses. Every social media site has a specific demographic, personality, and purpose. And the LinkedIn Lady will interview a variety of guests, such as business owners who can showcase their business and talk about how they use social media, such as Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Google+, Pinterest, and of course, LinkedIn. For more on Carol and the show, check out her website, LinkedInLady.com. As trends change and new applications become available, the LinkedIn Lady Show will bring that information to you in an easy-to-use, fun, and engaging way. Every Tuesday and Wednesday afternoons at 4 p.m. Eastern, it's the LinkedIn Lady Show with Carol McManus on AllBusinessRadioNetwork.com.
In today's business world, a helping hand or idea that doesn't come with an invoice is a treasured find. And if that happens to you, then you need to pay it forward to keep other entrepreneurs from making mistakes or getting a raw deal. It's called Paying It Forward with Josephine Gerasi, Wednesday mornings at 10, 9 a.m. Central. Josephine is going to have the guests describe their accomplishments, the lessons they've learned, both good and bad, and then sharing those pieces of knowledge as we create a movement of paying it forward. For more information about Josephine, her business, and background, you can go to mymomknowsbest.com. Josephine Gerasi has always been a problem solver. She saw this need and has turned it into a movement. It's Paying It Forward. With tips, tools, and advice, and hard lessons learned, these pieces of knowledge can make a huge difference for you, your business, and others. So join us for Paying It Forward with Josephine Gerasi, Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m., 9 a.m. Central, on toginet.com.
You're listening to Uncommon Sense for Leaders, a forum for exploring leadership from the intellect, the heart, and the spirit. Here with more thought-provoking ideas on every aspect of leadership, Catherine Carlisi.
Welcome back. As we went into break, Valya was talking about how a panic attack sort of changed the course of her life. But before she continues, I want to tell you how to get in touch with her if you'd like to know more about her coaching work or engage with her to do some work with you or your company. You can go to our radio show page, which will have all of our information there, or visit her website at valiaglitzes.com. Now, I'm going to spell that. V as in Victor, A-L-I-A, G as in go, L-Y-T, S as in Sam, I-S.com. So, Valya, thank you for sharing so candidly your turning point in your journey toward leadership, and we'd love to hear what happened after you had this panic attack.
Absolutely. And if it's easier, just because for spelling my name, quick caveat, if it's easier, theparadoxofleadership.com. That's probably going to be a much easier way for people to connect if they're interested.
I think you're right. Thank you for that. Theparadoxofleadership.com. Thank you.
And it's actually connected to the panic attack because that's where the name Paradox was born. So it's all relevant. So yes, basically panic attack. At first I did the logical thing that any New Yorker would do. I just ignored it and said I was too busy and just kept going about my daily life, and they got nastier and quicker in terms of frequency. And so, I went to everything and anything under the sun, from acupuncture, energy healing, crystal healing. I mean, anything that could have been a serving modality and a helping modality, I tried to get rid of them. And I realized slowly but surely, as I started going inward and discovering things about myself through this interesting journey over the course of a year, that it was part of the outside-in, inside-out dilemma. I had been looking for so long for answers from other people, you know, doing everything that was right for my parents, for the institution that I was working with, getting the MBA, which is not something I wanted to do. It just made sense for my immigrant parents, and it made sense on the resume. And it was just a point in time where I think, even though there was happiness on the outside, on the inside, it was, what is going on, and when are you going to start leading your life for you and not just sitting in the passenger seat? And that was really a groundbreaking change for me, to have the courage to go in, start asking some difficult questions, start working with a coach, and really taking that journey and figuring out, what is my voice? Well, what do I look like outside from who I want to be for other people? And that's where it began. It began on a coaching journey, and from that point forward, realized that my quote-unquote nice, which was an adjective that I had been described by my entire life, and I had really come to hate, because I said, how flat, how dull is that adjective? I found a way to embrace it and actually realize that that connection, that empathy, that ability to be with other people and hold space for others was what part of my magic was. That was part of the strength, and stop fighting it, start embracing it. And that's when coaching started happening, and that was part of the paradox for me. That something that seemed so outside or seemed so vile to me at the time could actually be the source of my greatest light, of my greatest contribution on this planet.
Well, that's a wonderful story, and I appreciate that. And I would also say, from my own experience and what you're telling me as well, your experience, is that it's a healing process. And through coaching, I think we can heal ourselves, and as we work with others, we facilitate them in finding their own healing. So I love the fact that you started your journey by working with a coach. Coaches Yes. need coaching too sometimes, right?
Oh, that's exactly it. I always tell my clients, I work with 3 coaches right now. And if we're not working on our own stuff, I'm not sure how we possibly, you know, help others work through theirs. So coaches absolutely need coaches. And I think believe so deeply in the work that we do that that's how we, you know, build our arsenal as well in our toolkit.
Yes, and that's part of where the authenticity comes from, because I think if we don't go internally and do some soul searching and have people challenge us, that's part of what a good coach does, I think, is challenge us to question some of the beliefs and the stories that we've accepted for probably our whole lives. If we don't do that, then we start to do this by rote. And that's when that deep connection and the ability to facilitate breakthrough moments, I think, starts to wane.
Yes, and that goes back to our conversation earlier about vulnerability, right? I mean, if we're not willing to be vulnerable with our clients and say, yeah, this does suck, or this is hard, and, you know, sometimes I've been there, or here's a story, an example from another client, or, you know, it's human what you're experiencing. If we're not able to do that, then at the end of the day, you know, it's not a coaching relationship, right? It might be more of a mentoring relationship or a consulting relationship. Coaching is about walking our talk and allowing other people to know that it's okay and that that's actually the source of the breakthrough.
Yes, I agree. And again, to model what we're encouraging people to do. So I don't know if you've ever had this. I think my style may be just a tad more challenging than yours. So I create a safe space. And to me, it's a sacred contract that we have. But I work a lot sometimes with entrepreneurs, and they are very committed to their own points of view. They've had to be to overcome the obstacles that they needed to do to get to where they are. And so in those moments, I've had some challenge me and say, you're not doing this the way I want you to do it, or whatever. And in that moment, it's become very easy to say, I can see that in some ways I may not be the ideal coach that you had in mind. And I want you to know that this is my intention. This is what I'm doing for you. And it absolutely dissolves resistance, because we don't have to be perfect to be of great benefit to each other.
Yes, I think that's exactly it. And I think the more I love that you do that. And I think the more we are unattached, to me, there's always that word detachment. When we're not attached to the outcome, you don't need to work with me, work with anyone. At the end of the day, this is about you and your stuff and your growth. That's a place of authenticity, right? That's a place of real connection. And honestly, a very quick way to build trust, because then we know we're working together and we're collaborating, or we've connected for some reason because we were meant to, and because we are both bought in, not because one of us is, dragging the other one, kicking and screaming. And I think that's part of the essence that makes an incredible coach. It's that lack of attachment, but really support for that person completely, wholeheartedly. And like you said, that sacred contract. I love that.
The other thing that I would add to that is I'm very clear. I have to pay the bills, but I don't work primarily for money. And neither do you. From what you've said, I'm not going to speak for you, but for myself, I know that I'm doing what I have been designed to do, what I have been wired to do through passion and through my natural talent. And that I'm not going to say I would do it if I didn't get paid, because I still have to pay the mortgage, but I probably would find some way to do it. And so when you have that combination, but you know, I don't have to have every job that I don't have to win over every prospect I talk to. I don't have to have each person choose me as a coach. Yeah, I want this to be good for both of us. And I want to know that my talents are a match for their needs. And that's what I hear you say too.
Absolutely. And I think for those people who are listening, who are thinking about making a move or doing something different, having to have that leap of courage, I very much think that money is a side effect. Money comes, to your point, when we are aligned and living from that place of passion and strength. I don't think it's the money comes first. Oh, and then, by the way, let me figure out what I can do to make the most impact on this planet. Right, I do think they're completely connected, which is why we can be more detached and say, if I'm not the right coach for you, then no problem. Like, you need to find the person who's completely aligned with the way that you see the world. And I think that's part of the value. You know, a lot of clients come to me for, well, but what about money? Right? Well, it's, you know, how's it going for you now? Showing up every day and being in a place that you're not satisfied. You know, how's that going? Just making ends meet. What would it look like to have that courage to know that if you are living completely from your strength, you will be the best at that versus being just average at something else that you're trying so hard to be? And there's some tough love that goes in there, right? A lot of coaching conversations, I think, are anchored in that place of money, because money has a big charge for us, a lot of energy.
Oh, yes. A lot of people, I think, try to develop in ways to make more money. But you said something very wise again, and that is, what is it that we have natural strengths towards? And those are the things that are going to ultimately bring us the most satisfaction and the greatest potential for money. Because if we get into a job where we have a potential to make a lot of money, but we don't love it and we're forcing ourselves to go to work each day, it's not going to work long term. Or if it does, the price you pay is going to be greater than you want to pay.
That's right.
That's my experience.
Absolutely.
Would you say that that's true in your experience as well?
Oh, completely, completely. And think about it. I mean, we do it in terms of children and I think in general educational institution, right? It's, oh, well, that child isn't so great at math, so let's invest money, time, energy, tutors, you know, a lifetime of resources versus, wow, that same child is incredible in arts or incredible in writing. What if we were to invest that same exact money, talent, resources, time into developing the natural strength? That person can be, you know, a 12 out of 10 instead of an 8 out of 10 on the math scale, right? And it's a silly analogy, but think about how much we do that and concentrate on weaknesses and development areas rather than investing resources and love and energy into what we naturally do best. I mean, that's where you excel, right? That's where you become a brand, right? That's where you become known for something, not for something that you're just okay at or average at.
I agree. And I think for so many businesses who ignore that, they end up very upset that people are not as engaged as they would like, or they're not performing at the highest levels. But we make this decision from the beginning of hiring, where we look beyond the resume and we look for culture fit, but we look for all these other characteristics. What are the strengths? And then look at the job as if the job could talk and ask for what it needed, instead of comparing one employee to another. Or, you know, we may have all B players, or all the candidates may be B players. But to really look at it more systematically and almost scientifically, as to how to match talent and the jobs. We've got just about 30 seconds, Valya.
That's exactly it. And, you know, Gallup has done quite a bit of research on this strength-based leadership approach, where the ramifications are not just job satisfaction, you know, and money. It's also about health, overall wellness, productivity, right? So real concrete impact from what you're sharing, from really living from a strength-based perspective and orchestrating
Absolutely.
The professional world.
Let's talk more about this after the break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
There's more to come with Catherine and Hertz on Uncommon Sense for Leaders. Catherine returns after this short break.
If you're ready for a big change in your work, your career, your happiness, your life, it's time for the Million Dollar Mindset with Marla Tabaka. Monday afternoons at 2, 1 Central on TalkingHead.com. Marla believes that with the right mindset, anything is possible. Join us as successful life coach Marla Tabaka inspires you and her clients to explore, discover, and live your dreams by developing what she calls the Million Dollar Mindset. Marla will inspire you to take action on your dreams and reveal secrets to success that will help you realize your own unique power. Tune into the Million Dollar Mindset for heartwarming stories with Marla Tabaka. Learn tips and tricks to building a successful business and unlock the secrets to creating a happier, more balanced life through abundant thinking and attraction power. For more information on the Million Dollar Mindset, go to our website, marlatabaka.com. That's MarlaTabaka.com. It's the Million Dollar Mindset with Marla Tabaka. Monday afternoons at 2, 1 p.m. Central on TalkingHead.com.
Are you fascinated by the stories behind the stories? The people behind their masks? The truth about people's failures and redemptions in both their business and personal lives? Then Off the Record Secrets Of with host Judy Schreiner is for you. It's people's secrets that make them interesting, but very few folks are willing to reveal them unless they trust that their information will be treated with accuracy, fairness, and respect. People have been entrusting their secrets to longtime business journalist Judy Schreiner for the last 25 years, and now she's bringing her expertise and impressive contact list. Tune in and call in as host Judy Schreiner talks to guests off the record as they reveal new secrets each Tuesday at noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central.
You're listening to Uncommon Sense for Leaders, a forum for exploring leadership from the intellect, the heart, and the spirit. Here with more thought-provoking ideas on every aspect of leadership, Catherine Carlisi.
Welcome back. I can't believe we're already in the last segment of the show. We're talking to Valya Glitzis. When two executive coaches get together, we could probably talk for half a day. So we were talking about during the break this notion of the investment in executive coaching and the payoff for the individual. But we thought it might be interesting to also talk about the payoff, at least potentially, for companies who are willing to invest in their high potential employees. And I want to say one thing before we go into that. Don't be too sure that your problem employees aren't high potential employees, because I have found, not always, but there are times when people are so wired for success, and for whatever the limitations of the leadership or the resources of the organization, they don't feel they can be successful. When you open the door to a more authentic conversation with those kinds of problem employees, you may find that they have insights that are going to absolutely turbocharge your organization. So sometimes, and Valya, I'd like to hear your opinion on this, but I think that sometimes problem employees can actually be mismanaged high potential employees. What do you think about that? That's a different way of looking at things, for sure.
For sure, but I think you're spot on. It links back to what we were saying earlier about strength-based alignment. I think a lot of those folks who are quote-unquote problem employees have not been given the role, responsibility, opportunities to be fully aligned with what they do best. And I think that's up to a manager, right? I think that's up to true leadership to figure out and to get underneath the surface of, let's not just look at the symptom of this problem employee. Let's get to the root of how can we align. And yes, sometimes maybe that individual, there are cultural issues where it won't fit. But I would say the majority of the times, there's real opportunity to put them more on the high potential track. I think you're spot on.
And sometimes leaders say they want a different culture. So they start attracting people who represent the culture they want. And then they find that there is a culture clash. I think ultimately, and this is a challenge for leaders, they have to grow also. We, in a very real sense, we have the teams that we deserve. And if we want to have really high-performing teams that are collaborative, that work with a great amount of trust, which is central to great communication, they may have to grow themselves in their own skills and insights. Would you agree?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that goes back to our, you know, our earlier dialogue around what does it look like to look at your own stuff, right? And not just be moving chess pieces of, okay, well, this employee belongs there and then that person belongs there. But how do you see yourself growing? How have you evolved with this culture change? Or how have you started thinking differently about delegation, right? If that leader is not looking inward as well as outward, there's going to be a problem, right? It's all about, yes, adaptability and agility.
And let's face it, most people in leadership positions are there because they excel at the business side of leadership.
Yes.
And how many of them have even had adequate training in leadership? So it's no, yes, judgment or criticism at all. You can't know what you haven't been exposed to or haven't learned. If you are fortunate enough to have great role models or mentors, you may have some of that naturally, but it's never too late.
Yes. And I can't tell you, Catherine, how many executive leadership team offsites, you know, senior management training, whatever it is, whether it's a half-day seminar training, are around really basic leadership skills that you and I would say, wow. But to your point, they just haven't been exposed to it, right? Whether it's 101 communication, how to have a difficult conversation, how to navigate a feedback session, right? All these things, senior people in their careers and high level of leadership, but to your point, they have excelled mostly from the business point of view and are now learning the emotional intelligence and people side of the business that they're leading bigger and bigger teams and opportunities.
Yes. I'm reading Patrick Lencioni's new book, The Advantage, and I love the fact that he talks about emotional intelligence, but because, again, that's starting to get the connotation of warm and fuzzy, he calls it organizational health, and I think that's very smart because that's what it is. So when we talk about what the payoff could be for a company through using coaches, clearly better communication, which I think better results come from that and people working together collaboratively. What would you add to that?
I think down and dirty, day-to-day productivity. I think when people show up happier, you're getting more out of them without asking for more out of them, right? So forget turnover, which is an obvious ROI point of view. But you're talking about just general productivity. I would say I have seen a lot of proactive behavior shifts, right? Someone who is just might just be saying, well, this is only in my job description. This is only what I'm going to do. What would it look like to then be more collaborative, to be more cross-functional, to be initiating ideas and opportunities? I think that, I mean, that's a price tag that really is invaluable to an organization.
I agree. And the other thing I think about, too, going back to stories, because everything is about the stories we tell ourselves. When we tell ourselves stories about our organizations, our leaders, our coworkers, people in other departments, especially when there's competition for scarce resources, which there are in so many companies that are run very lean, you have to be so careful that the stories don't breed resentment, resistance, yes, and all of those performance inhibitors.
Yes. And imagine if we're helping shape the story of that leader. I mean, I personally have a top-down philosophy on leadership. If we shape that individual, imagine the ripple effect, right? The tools and the skills and the insights are not just for that one person. You have a pay-it-forward effect on every life that individual touches, who's going to be sharing insights or showing up in a different way, which then will have an impact on the other people in their team or throughout their organization.
Yes. Lencioni makes the point that there are very few real points of leverage for an organization to excel in comparison to their competition. And creating organizational health where everyone is working at the peak of their potential is that last frontier. I like
that.
I think that's a great way of looking at it.
Yes, yes.
So talk a little bit, if you will, Valya, about what you do on these offsites and retreats that you mentioned. What a great opportunity for an organization, I would think, to get away and build teamwork, connect with each other in a very different way and perhaps a more personal and authentic way.
Yes, I think those words, personal and authentic, is exactly the intention that a lot of leaders have when going into these offsites. And let's be honest, to try and coordinate, you know, whether it's 5 people, whether it's 12 people, 30 people, to coordinate all those schedules is a seeming impossibility. And there's typically resistance up front until they arrive, right? I think these offsites are an opportunity, I like to say, slowing down to then speed up. That's what happens. We slow down for a day and a half, 2 days a week, whatever it is that the organization commits to then go back and hit the ground running. So they look like very much a team bonding, a connection, a vulnerability opportunity to spend time together and get to know each other as human beings, right, not just as very smart work collaborators. And then there's work to be done, right? So we get a very clear yet narrow objective of, hey, we're really struggling around communication, or we'd like to do some strategic thinking on what 2015 looks like, or what would it look like to do some role-playing on how to have high-impact performance evaluations for our employees. So we take something that's quite tangible and play with that for a good portion of the day, and have people commit to next steps, have people commit to roles, responsibilities, and create almost mini task force to allow that to be a constant thread post-offsite. And then there's a lot of work that we do on these leaders as individuals. What are their values? What makes them tick? What have we not addressed in a business day-to-day context that we just don't have time to think about? So we do a lot of this inside-out leadership work, through assessments, through real-time, role plays, through high-impact experiences where we might be having a team-building event and then doing a debrief. You know, for one company, I do a sailing experience where we actually get on a boat and row and figure out how to navigate sailing so that we can be figuring out what our teamwork looks like under high-stakes, high-stress situations. And the insights that come from getting out of your world are really hard to describe. I think they're invaluable and long-lasting if the leader is committed to seeing that forth.
I love that. You know, I also like that slowing down to speed up. Sometimes I say we have an opportunity to work on our business and not just in our business.
Yes.
How do you get executives to do role playing, though? I have found that they really are so self-conscious about that. How do you make that happen?
They are. They hate it. And I usually have to creatively put it into whether it's a game, an exercise, a hand-on experience. So there's a lot of warming up that actually happens at an offsite to then be able to feel comfortable doing it. And it happens towards the second half of an offsite for sure. The front end is where you set the tone, really create the rules of engagement, and really be able to build that shared understanding that we're playing under Vegas rules, right? What happens here stays here. Let's have this shared experience and go all in, because you're right. There is resistance to role-playing in general as a technique because we're scared, right? We don't want to look stupid in front of our colleagues. It's human nature.
Valya, we've only got a couple minutes left. This has gone so fast. What's next for you? Talk about that for a minute.
So, you know, for me, I think it's impact on many. That's what's on my vision board right now. I love one-on-one executive coaching. I've done incredible work with many organizations. And for right now, I think it's how do I impact more people in a given week, in a given month, in a given year. So looking to just started writing a book, really doing more speaking engagements and bigger global programs to be impacting a lot more folks through this work.
I think that's very timely. It makes me so happy to know there are people like you out there with this kind of mission, with this kind of compassion and empathy and skills. I mean, that you're amazing, and I'm really happy that we've had this time together. Do you have any last thoughts for people who are listening of how to get started or just something you send them off with today?
I mean, I think, as you were just speaking, I just had an overwhelming feeling of gratitude. And I think for you, for us, for this time that we shared together, and I think if you're going to start anywhere, start with what's working. Be grateful for what is and be curious about where you want to move the needle. And I think from that place, you really can't go wrong. A leadership journey starts, I think, with being grateful for what's standing right in front of us.
Very inspiring. I know we're going to hear more from you, and I would love to have you come back and talk with us again. Would you be willing to do that?
I would love to. Catherine, thank you. This has been the highlight of my week. It's such a wonderful hour spent with you. So thank you, and to everyone listening.
Thank you. And let us know when your book is out, and we'll have you back on the show and make sure that everybody knows about it. Thank you so much. Valya Glitzis, theparadoxofleadership.com. Talk to you next week.
Thanks for tuning in to Uncommon Sense for Leaders, a forum for examining leadership from the perspectives of intellect, heart, and spirit. We're committed to bringing you the insights and information you need to take you from where you are to where you want to be as a leader. So we want to know more about you, our listeners. What did you learn on today's show that struck a chord with you?